Good morning. This is Dan Darnall from KFUO Radio. It's time for Daily Chapel here at the International Center in St. Louis, Missouri. The text is 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 7 through 14. The Reverend Stephen Heimer is preaching. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
Our reading for today is from 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can not take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Jesus Christ, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. This is the word of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus revealed and taught of the kingdom of God, and he spoke of the ways that faith is sown. And he used the parable of the sower and sowing seeds. We're familiar with the various aspects of the different soil and the different aftermath of seed landing on different soil, and one of them that comes to mind in relation to today's text are the seed, the gospel word, the seed that falls among thorns, which in Christ's parable is referring to people who hear the good news. But the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. We have this warning in 1 Timothy about love of money, of love of riches, the deceptions that would draw people away from the salvation, the restoration that Christ has won on the cross, that is received as we hear the word of God, that the Holy Spirit sparking faith then results in that confession of faith that is the joy of salvation. The schemes of an enemy who would have Christ's work and gift to us not result in the fruit that God desires. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. If there's any miracle that we could particularly pray for and ask for, I'd say pretty universally around the world in all of our communities of the United States, of any ethnicity, any language, any economic reality, the miracle, a fundamental miracle, would be what is called for in this text of contentment in life. Discontent creeps into our thoughts. It attacks our ability to sleep, to focus, to work together. Discontent stirs in our hearts and in our minds, robs us of clarity and of purpose, sometimes because we think that money is what's needed. Or a change of location, a change of politics. There's much clamoring after the right economic configuration that's taking place in our world right now, the right strategies for life together, of transactions and savings. There's so many different possibilities for the right recipe for riches to abound among us with, I suspect, a hope that with more money, there would be peace. That with more resource, there would be actual kindness shared. Not to mention the potential joys that would enliven our senses from day to day. I just moved here a year ago from the border of Texas and Mexico, and I served as a pastor on both sides of the border, and I'd say when I think of this prescription of godliness with contentment being great gain, I think of a woman, I'll say her name is Maria. She would come to our church from Mexico, crossing the border to volunteer at our church in Texas. And she did so every day of the week, mopping floors, organizing the thrift store. Sometimes she would just empty the trash cans in the offices. And when I picture her, and I just see this huge smile as she would greet people. And in this one occasion, I asked her, "How long have you been here volunteering?" And she says, "Oh, I've been coming for several years. I just love to be here." And I thought, "Well, where do you live?" And she explained that she lived in Mexico, and she would take the bus from her home and walk over the bridge and walk the mile to the church in order to volunteer. And I said, "Well, this is really wonderful what she does for our church. And why did you start doing this? Why do you keep doing this? This is very exceptional." And she said, "Oh, I love my Lord. And my kids are out of the house, and I don't really have anything to do at home, and so I'd much rather be here doing something to serve the Lord. So whatever you need, I'll mop the floors, I'll clean the bathrooms, just let me know." And she went about her work and day after day. Part of our ministry as a church was LCMS churches would come on servant events, and they would build homes for families in Mexico. And this had been taking place for several years, and we'd been able to help a lot of families, provide a bit of a starter replacement home, very humble. You can build this home in a week, so it's not very substantial. But compared to the homes that were being replaced, sometimes families would refer to them as mansions. Often a home would be put together. As people sought work and a better life in the city, they'd put together a home with shipping pallets and cardboard, and often the roof would be held on with tires or cinder blocks that would be sitting on top of the structure. And groups were coming and doing this. Lo and behold, Maria, calling her that today, was living in a home similar to that, with tires holding her roof in place, and she never asked for a home to be built for her. I thought, wow, she's been coming and volunteering for years, pouring her life into our lives, blessing us with pure joy. And her roof was being held on with a tire. And she said, "Yeah, it doesn't matter. It's just me and my husband there, and he's out doing his thing. We don't need to have a fancy home." Just one example in my life, in that ministry, of a whole different outlook of how much is needed in order to be content, how much is necessary in our world in order to have joy, but also to joyfully serve the Lord. Fight the good fight is a prescription for us. The fight of faith. To pursue gifts of the Holy Spirit that money cannot buy. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Faith comes through hearing. There's a perplexing parable that Jesus taught that uses an example of an unfaithful steward who's stealing from his boss, and then he knows he's going to be put out on the street, and so he uses money. He removes the debts of various clienteles with an expectation that in this world, if you do such a thing, wipe out people's debts that they owed to the boss, those people would take care of you when he would be out on the streets. It's a strange parable, but one that's using a worldly situation that if you take care of people, if you reward them monetarily or materially, then they'll perhaps reciprocate. There's laws against much of that, but people understand that that happens. Jesus uses that situation to encourage us. Use your money. That there would be friends in heaven. Friends for yourself in heaven. Use your worldly wealth, that there would be people up there. That doesn't mean that you're buying people's way into heaven, that you're purchasing forgiveness of sins as if God worked that way. But Jesus, in his payment of his life, the fullness of his righteousness, the cosmic weight of perfection and goodness that he poured into the equation of justice for you and for me, that human sin is dealt with by his overwhelming payment for us on the cross, applying his righteousness to us, that people would receive that by hearing the news. And the Holy Spirit giving the gifts of faith, steadfast faith, godliness. Well, we do that as we support our ministers and our missionaries, as we publish and share and gift scriptures and devotionals, as we do the work with money and life and ability that would result in the word of God, the good news of Jesus Christ being heard far and near in every language expressed in at times a sophistication that people want to have as an entry point to the good news, or with the simplicity that anyone would understand. May the Lord grant us freedom from the schemes of Satan, freedom from the idolatry of economy and money, that we would be rejoicing each day in whatever home we live in whatever status of life that we find ourselves, that we would be free with joy to use our lives, our time, our monies in service of the gospel. And maybe nobody will know about it, but the Lord rejoices as his gifts to us in the freedom of a redeemed life would result in faith. And that when the Son of Man comes again on that last day, he would indeed find faith on the earth. Amen.
Joining us for chapel. The broadcast to chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about long and short-term opportunities to serve, visit servenow.lcms.org.